Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining us today is Hollywood actress Dee Wallace, author of Conscious Creator and her newest book, Bright Light. Dee is known for many, many films and TV performances, and most especially for the epic movie, E.T. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Miss Cheryl. How are you?
Very good, thanks. And I am so delighted for you to be able to share your journey and all the knowledge that you've gathered about the creative process, both in your professional film life and in your spiritual life, and to share this with our listeners. As the mother of a successful child actress, who is my daughter Stacy Glick, I was privileged to observe the powerful and the dynamic soul energy that so many of the writers and actors and artists and designers possessed, and how they brought this quality of their soul being, representing both the pain and the joy in their lives, and they illuminated their personal challenges by filtering these emotions into their performances. Of course, at that time, 20 years ago, when this was happening, I didn't understand it as well as I do now, or I'm sure as well as you do, since our children are grown and we have new awarenesses. But let me just tell you a little story. My son, Greg, is 5 years younger than my daughter, Stacy. And when he was little, he couldn't say her name, Stacy. So he used to have this ringing voice, and he would call, Dee, and it always, it's your name, and it always tickled my fancy so, and I have such fond memories, and I have not, in my travels, connected with someone with the name. So I kind of think it's not a coincidence that we're here today having our talk.
Well, I don't think anything is a coincidence, so there you go.
Yes, there we go. And I believe listeners of this radio show, Healing From Within, are well aware that each of my guests have experienced transformation and shifts in understanding who they are and what life is about in terms of our physical life and the energy of our souls. So, Dee, we're going to begin by giving our listeners a little background on your early life and how childhood patterns helped shape your perceptions as they do for all of us. So can you tell us a little bit about the conflicting messages of your childhood and your Midwestern upbringing and how they aided and maybe sometimes restricted you in your life as it was unfolding?
Well, this is a big and important part of Bright Light, which is basically my journey through life, but it's everybody's journey. You know, we come in with our light. We come in as the light. That's all we are, is light. And then people usually who love us very much, but we're also taught incorrectly, teach us things, react in things, give us messages that inadvertently make us turn our light down, shut our light down, and make ourselves smaller and less powerful than we are. And growing up in the Midwest, I wasn't any different. I was the quintessential, you know, poor kid from Kansas. My family was very poor. We lived with my grandmother most of the time. And I was given a lot of those good Midwestern limiting values of don't ever ask for more than you just need. You don't need any more than you just need to get by. You never come forward to love yourself. You put other people first. You don't acknowledge how magnificent you are. Good little girls never do that. Certainly good little girls who believe in God absolutely don't do that. And so...
And Dee, you know, I grew up in New York in a Jewish family, and you just described everything that was given to me. So I, all my life, had to hold back just a little. When you go with your boys and the boyfriends, don't beat them at bowling. You know, just be a little, hide that little bit of extra beauty of your soul or quality, because people are frightened by something that is so beautiful, and if they're not ready to see it, exactly
and,
the same.
You know, that's what I mean. That's why I think we're getting the reviews on Amazon that we're getting, because people are going, oh, my God, I thought I picked up this book to read about a movie star's life. This is my life. This is what happened to me. And it's just time that we create ourselves. They did the best they could.
Yes, they did.
They taught us the best that they could. They loved us by thinking they were teaching us. But bottom line, guys, we were being disempowered.
Yes.
Many
parents do that to us. They want to protect us and keep us safe physically, and so they limit us and hold us back, and we develop so many fears that it takes a lifetime to rid ourselves of this so that we can truly live in the beauty of our whole essence, our soul essence, and our physical life.
Yes, and it's, you know, if you turn down your light, you turn down the very energy that you create your life with. So people are out there going, how can I? How can I? How can I manifest more in my life? And my answer to you is, love yourself more.
Yes, and my answer is also, how can you not? You were given a chance to have a life that's joyful and successful, and it means to accept every opportunity, no matter how challenging.
But you see, it's difficult to do that, though, when we were taught that the only way we can get opportunities is to make ourselves smaller and less powerful.
Yes.
And I'm saying they cannot, nobody in your life, whether you've been raped, beaten, abandoned, used in business, abused by a parent, they are not going to fix it for you. Nobody's going to fix it for us. We must come forward in this day and go, I am choosing to love myself enough to create me as the largest, happiest, most expanded, peaceful, joyful, unconditionally loving person that I can be. That's my choice. And nothing's going to get in the way of that.
Yeah, we all have choices.
Well, it all starts with choice. And the biggest choice is to love yourself.
Yes,
biggest
absolutely.
One. If you can get over that hurdle, then you have enough empowerment within you to step out and look at all the other limiting beliefs you have that you are at choice to let go of. So,
Dee, when I invited you on the show, I wrote a letter to your publicist, and I said that I had saved an energy magazine that comes to my office. I'm a Reiki energy healer, practitioner, and intuitive counselor, and I had saved this article with your picture, Conscious Creator, which was a review of your first book, and as I read it, I was so warmed in my heart to feel that your journey, while you had many challenges, I could sense that you had chosen, you had made the conscious choice to share your understanding of energy, your life, and your experiences with so many people. So many of us hide behind so many masks, afraid to really show our true self. And I have saved that article. And when I had a chance to do the show with you, it was still there in the box in my office.
Wow, that's awesome.
How many years is that it was in the Energy magazine?
Three, I think, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
3 years ago. Yeah, my book, my first book, Conscious Creation, took me about 6 years to write because all the energy I was channeling at the time and all the energy kept changing, as now I know, is the natural way of the world. The more we learn, the more the energy expands and the more understanding we have of what we've learned. So somebody called into one of my talk shows and said, but Dee, when will I know I'm there? And the answer
You'll never
to
be.
The, The answer through the channel was, you'll know you're there when you know there's no there to get to.
Right. You'll never be there because we're always growing and expanding and learning.
Exactly.
The day we don't want to learn, then we might as well take ourselves off the earth and go learn in another dimension of energy. But let's go deep to this. You described that since you were somewhat naive and extremely good-natured, and I know you are, I can sense it and hear it in your voice. And you were at the beginning of your career, and because of that, many doors and opportunities presented to themselves. Would you consider this to be something like the law of attraction, which is described in the book The Secret?
Yes, but inadvertently. I had no idea. You know, you don't have to study the law of attraction to live it. A lot of people are living it naturally.
I was doing it also, and I didn't know about it.
But when we become really conscious of it, that's when we're at choice to manifest all the time. Now, the one place where I depart from The Secret is I think people get a little confused when they read that, because it inadvertently makes you focus again on the stuff.
Yes.
And what people have to get is that the creation process is about creating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create yourself. And you have to create yourself as and in harmony with everything else you want to create. So if you don't create yourself first, as being in harmony with money, you're not going to create money. So we're out there going, I hate money, I resent money, I don't have enough money, I'm stressed about money, I need more money, all my focus is on where's the money. Hi, universe, could I have more money, please? You know, you're not in harmony with what you're wanting to manifest in your life. You're in judgment of it, you're resentful of it, and that holds it away from you. You know, in relationships, a lot of us are afraid to create the new relationship we want because we keep looking at all the jerks that we created before.
Mm-hmm. And following the new pattern. It's just a pattern. Until you change the focus on what you really want, you will be receiving what it is you've been living with and accepting. So it's like this. It's not quite so simple as to say, do this, and you will get that. If it's not in tune with our destiny, and I believe we have a life plan, and we come here to refine the soul and to grow ourselves in compassion and love, and all the experiences and people we meet give us an opportunity to mirror the very best in ourselves. They give us the opportunity, but then again, it always comes down to the choice is ours. Dee, I am aware from reading your book, Bright Light, that you and your husband and actor Christopher Stone had a true love story of profound significance. Can you tell us about the soul connection you shared, his near-death experience, and how his death impacted you?
Well, Chris was my best friend and soulmate, and I believe, actually, we can have many and do have many soulmates. My daughter and my brother are also my soulmate in this lifetime. But Chris came into my life at the very beginning of my success, right? And he was already a very established actor, but he also was involved in the study of this philosophy called conceptology, when in essence it is, you know, how to create your life and everything we know about now. But back then, none of this stuff was, you know, even focused on.
He was ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time, and he was a master creator. And so he taught me, and we went once a week to study this philosophy. Were we doing it? I think he was doing it consciously. I was still learning what that meant to do it consciously. For me, because of my naivete, which is very much, you know, when you're naive, you're in blind faith and trust. You are. You just expect the best. And that is a simplified explanation of the creative process right there. So not only were we lovers and friends, but we were soulmates in the journey of understanding
expansion and soul.
Well, and understanding energy and how it worked in life, and how we literally created separately and together. And so before he had met me, he had this near-death experience. He actually did die on the table with an aneurysm and left his body and went up to the corner of the room. And he often told Gabrielle, my daughter and I, how amazing that was, that it was the greatest peace he had ever known, the greatest joy he had ever known. And quite frankly, I think he just always wanted to go back to that light. But he said, I turned around and looked at my body and said, oh, there's more I'm supposed to do. And within the snap of a finger, he was back in his body. Now, interesting that they could find no scar tissue, no damage, no nothing from his aneurysm after that. So cut to years later, he'd never been sick a day in his life during his marriage with me. I mean, really hardly even a cold. And when I was in New Zealand shooting the Frighteners, he had a heart attack while he was out teaching Gabby how to play baseball. That was their big thing together. So I flew back. They did the angioplasty. He was fine. He was coming home. I flew back to finish filming. And 4 days later, he got up in the middle of the night and an aneurysm hit his heart and he was gone.
Did he ever discuss with you, Dee, the fact that he had a feeling or a sense that he might be leaving or departing at
well,
a certain time?
He joked with me often during our marriage. He says, you know, I'm not going to live past 55, Pepper. You sure you want to stick around? You know, but it was always a joke, right? Mm-hmm. And he died right before his 55th birthday.
Well, I have heard many stories like this. I've had many guests on the show who've studied near-death experiences, and people do come back with that, with some more intuitive awareness and sometimes a sense of how their life is going to play out. Because I think we truly do have a plan and a destiny, and I do believe personally myself that something survives energetically this physical life. And I think he may have been joking, but deep down he may have wanted you to know when it happened that
mm-hmm.
it was just the way it was supposed to be, and he's nearby. And
oh, I talk to him all the time. I talk to him and have messages from him in all very and sundry ways. My mother, too. I'm in communication with my mother a lot. I don't call myself a medium, but when I do my private sessions all over the world, oftentimes the person that we're talking about will make their presence known to, you know, to give
well,
a suggestion, a message, whatever that is. So, you know, energy is energy, and we
yes.
go on forever. I know that.
I agree with you. And I know a medium is a word, but we're all intuitive. We're all able to connect. Our
yep.
loved ones are not so very far away, and all we need to do is think of them and ask them for guidance or help. And they will do the best they can within the framework of our personal destiny in life, because they can't change what we have to experience. But let's go on to something else for a minute. Can you tell the audience about your mentor and acting teacher, Charles Conrad, and his techniques? And I know you spent a lot of time with him. I learned that in the book. And later how that added to your own spiritual awareness when you started your own acting school.
Well, Charles was one of my first teachers of energy. In every acting class, he would start out his class with readings about energy, discoveries about energy, the latest theories about energy. He would read to us, you know, quotes from Michelangelo and Emerson and people like that who really had a grasp on how to focus and manipulate energy for creation.
They used to call them alchemists.
Yeah,
magicians, but actually they were just people connected to spirit.
Well, and people that knew they had to take responsibility for the direction of energy.
Yeah.
You know, the I Am Discourses changed my whole life. When I found the book, The I Am Discourses, and I work with the St. Germain series, Volume 3, it says in there, inexplicably, your I Am presence, which is the presence that creates everything, whether you call it God, the creative force, Atman, Buddha, whatever that is.
It's all the same, actually.
Yes. The I Am presence cannot create for you without your conscious direction, which is why I wrote Conscious Creation, that most of us are not consciously choosing and directing what we want in this world. And many of us also think incorrectly that focusing on fixing what's wrong is going to create what you want. In essence, that just keeps the focus on what you don't want and creates more of it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So Charles was my first teacher in all this, and the one that taught me the acting technique that made me free.
Mm-hmm.
I love him and honor him dearly. We just lost him last year. But what I learned from Charles is that my acting technique was literally my life technique, or should have been. And that was that all you're doing, all we're here to do is play and learn about energy and how to create with it and what we want to create with it. And the joy and beauty that we are creation itself. And that's why loving yourself, honoring yourself, knowing your own magnificence is so important in this world.
It is the first step.
Yes.
Towards helping yourself and others.
You will not give yourself the power to create without it.
Right. You just used the word he taught you to be free. And I think that by being free, you stop blaming others. And you stop looking at others to do or give you what it is you so need. And I'm not saying the word want. What we want and what we need can be two very different things. Would you expand on that concept? Free. What free means, what he was sort of imparting to you.
Freedom means taking responsibility for your own power.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Now, Dee, what were some experiences and challenges that helped you in your awakening or movement towards this understanding of yourself, energy, what you wanted to create, and how to live in a more holistic, healthy way?
Exactly what are you asking me?
Okay.
I kind of lost you there, Cheryl.
Well, you have said that your husband and his techniques and how he took you to certain schools awakened you to a great deal of information, and your teacher. Well, I guess I'm actually saying, did you have any other teachers who worked with you in the healing modalities? In
oh, my gosh.
Energy work or hands-on work or like Reiki?
Well, sure. I've worked with many people in Reiki. One of my biggest teachers was my acupuncturist that I had while I was trying to get pregnant. All these, you know, wonderful specialists told me I would never have a baby. And I said, well, God and I have a different plan. Watch me.
I remember reading that.
Yeah, and so I found this acupuncturist who helped me shrink this fibroid tumor. But he taught me energy, taught me how to run energy through my hands. He taught me how to shrink, you know, help shrink the tumor, direct. So I was learning it there. Then I went to work on some allergies with an NAET specialist who worked with a pendulum. And she showed me, and I had already started working with kinesiology. My internist that I'd worked with ever since Cujo used kinesiology, so I was very familiar with that, and even taught it to my acting students, and we used it in class for clarity. And then I worked with this NAET doctor, and she taught me how to use the pendulum and how the pendulum picked up energy around your thoughts and kind of opened your channel up like a telephone, you know. Little by little by little, I can look back at my life and go, I was being prepped, right, with energy lessons all my life.
Yeah.
So
I have also followed that same path. And, you know, I have a story. I had a young woman who came to me who had an autistic child, and her family said she shouldn't have another one. But in my intuitive reading for her, I sensed there was a little girl, and it would bring great joy to her and the family. Now, she also had a cystic ovary, and she was told always to tell the doctors, a group of doctors, when she went that the left ovary was cystic. They were going to do a procedure on her so she could get pregnant. And one day when I was working with her, with Reiki, she felt an explosion and a pulling out of that area, and I felt it too, and I wasn't sure what it was. But the next time she went to the doctor, it had, it was clear. It was clear, and she got pregnant and had that little girl. So she didn't listen to what everyone was telling her. She did just what you were saying here, to take her responsibility for her own experience and what she needed, the joy that she wanted, and that's what it's all about. And energy helps us do it, but then it's a matter of quieting the ego and the mind, which creates so many imaginary fears, and letting our heart energy sort of guide us a little bit more. So,
yes, it's using your light. It's being your light, which is why I wrote Bright Light, because if we are going to be the light of the world, you know, and if we are going to create the world as the light of freedom and joy that we want, we must create ourselves that way first.
Absolutely.
Your job, okay, your duty is to become the most powerful loving being that you can, because we've been taught that power is about the sword. And power is really about love.
And you know, they did say the meek will inherit the earth. And I guess what they meant was, in the Bible, that the meek are those who observe and honor and respect themselves and others and walk freely. The word free comes in again. Our path in this lifetime, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and know that they easily create their own lives. And ergo, if you create your own life, you have to put that back into the pool of the one energy, because there is no separation. We're all one.
Yes. Thank you, Dee, for sharing your remarkable experiences and your insights into both your acting and spiritual journey. And for more information on Dee Wallace and her new book, Bright Light, go to www.iamdeewallace.com. In summarizing today's episode, Intuition and Spirituality in Movies and Television, Dee Wallace and I have explored how her journey in both the arts and in her own private life have led her to understand the brightness of her own soul being, and how anything we need to do or create in this life must come from our own vision and our own interpretation, not the fears and limitations of others who misguidingly wish us well, but often dim the brightness of our own being and our own values and our own standards. And in part two, we will have to continue her journey and the journey of understanding energy and how it brings about transformation in all that we choose to be and become, and to find health and happiness in our life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, And for more information on energy healing, psychic, and communication with spirit, and to learn more about my book, Life is No Coincidence, go to my website,